So when it comes to the word dhulm, a lot of times the translation that's given is oppression. And there's a potential mistake that we can make when we, because when you think about oppression, we think about oppressing somebody else, taking somebody else's rights. From the ayat in the Quran, dhulm has a very wide meaning. And when we're talking about being an enemy to dhulm, an enemy to the zalim, we have to understand what is that zalim and who is that zalim. There was once a man who comes to our fifth imam, Imam Al-Baqir alayhi salam. He tells him, "I heard something that you're saying and I want to confirm that this is correct." I'm just paraphrasing. He says, "I heard that you have said that for everything there is a had, there is like a limit. And this is something that Allah has ordained, rules for everything." So the Imam alayhi salam says that yes, indeed that is the case. Then the man says that he wants to test the Imam, he wants to maybe see if he can, you know, find faults in his knowledge. So he says that, "Okay, here there's a tablecloth which is spread, tell me what is the rules of the tablecloth." So Imam alayhi salam goes on to say that, "Okay, well, it's that when you open it up, you should thank Allah. When you close it up, you should praise Allah. If there's any extra food, don't just throw it away, you should collect it and do something proper with it," and so on and so forth. So then the man points to a water jug and he says, "What's the rules of the water jug?" Allah, you know, as if saying that, you know, how can you say that Allah would have rules for something like that? Yeah, when it comes to salah and hajj and these type of things, there's rules, but this is mundane things that had to do with the world. The Imam alayhi salam goes on to say that even for the water jug, there's rules as well too. You take water from here, you don't take water from there, this thing and that thing, so on and so forth. The Imam alayhi salam is explaining the perspective of an abd, which is that everything in creation, because it is from Allah, it emanates from Allah, Allah has expectations about how we're supposed to treat that thing. And whenever we go beyond those expectations, or we go and use things in a way that are contrary to those expectations, that is an act of dhulm. Now, the dhulm, one of the categorizations that's been given by the great ulama is that dhulm is of three types. One of them is dhulm in aqidah, dhulm in belief. One of them is dhulm to the self, and then the other one is dhulm to others. So quickly I want to mention each one of those three. The first one is dhulm when it comes to aqidah. When somebody has an understanding of things and they believe that this is what truth is, but what they believe is actually fiction, it's not truth. That itself is an act of dhulm. That's something which is very important, because we live in a society where our beliefs are being challenged. If we're not careful, then the elements of secularism can enter into our beliefs. So we have to actively be fighting that. We have to actively be working on ourselves, on our youth, and trying to make them understand what is the Islamic perspective on things. What is the Islamic ideology? Sometimes I get concerned when I see brothers who are very active and very keen on, for example, participating in protests and whatnot. But I see sometimes that when it comes to taking a firm stance with the aqidah of Islam, sometimes after living here for some time, they almost as if they feel that they have to be compromising. It's okay. It's okay if we don't sort of keep that pure line. It's okay if we start to like, yeah, okay, yeah, it's okay. They can say this, they can say that. No, Islam has very firm lines of belief. This is haqq, this is batil. Compromise and, you know, being weak on the firm principles can be something that in the long term will cause the whole foundation to break. The second area of dhulm is dhulm to oneself. And why is it that, you know, this expression of dhulm to oneself, what does it actually mean? Well, it goes back to the understanding of the creation of a human being and what is it that Allah wants from us. Allah tells us that this is your responsibility. This is what you should do. This is what you should stay away from. We know that Allah does not benefit in any way from the good acts that we do, nor is He harmed in any way when we are sinful. Allah is غَنِيٌ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ. He's perfectly needless of all of His creation. He always will be as well. The only one who is winning and the only one who is losing based on their actions is the human being themselves. And so whenever somebody does something contrary to the expectations of Allah, the one that they are actually oppressing is themselves. وَمَنْ يَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَ اللَّهِ فَقَدْ ظَلَمَ نَفْسَهُ. Whoever has exceeded the boundaries of Allah, they're doing dhulm to themselves. They were supposed to go in this path, the straight path. Now they're going on this path or this path. There was once a companion of Nabi Isa alayhi salam. He was one of the good companions of Nabi Isa. He used to travel with him in the lands. His nickname was Qasil, the one who is short. Nabi Isa alayhi salam, of course, was the Prophet of Allah. And when he had to travel, sometimes he would do so in a miraculous way. So when he would get to a body of water, sometimes he would travel and walk over the water itself. So in one of these journeys, when Qasir is traveling with Nabi Isa alayhi salam, Nabi Isa gets to the water and says Bismillah, and with the faith and certainty that he had, he began to walk on the water. So Qasir sees his Prophet, so he said, I can do the same thing. He says Bismillah, and based on the certainty that he has, he begins to walk on the water as well too. Now after some time, this thought comes to Qasir's mind, and he says that, oh, there's Isa, Ruhullah, and he's walking on the water, and here I am, Qasir, and I'm walking on the water as well too. Bit of like ujub, a bit of like, you know, sort of pride in who he is and what he's doing. And that's the moment that he sinks in the water. And he's gasping for air, he's calling for help for Nabi Isa, he pulls him up. Nabi Isa tells him something very interesting. He says that at that moment that you thought that, Allah Ta'ala removed his special love that he had for you. And so Qasir repented, and once again he was able to walk on the water with Nabi Isa alayhi salam. When Nabi Isa alayhi salam corrects him, there's a very important phrase that he uses. He says that, O Qasir, you have put yourself in a place which is not fitting for you. You have done injustice to yourself. Your position was that you are a follower of the wali of the time. You are not somebody who is independent. You're dependent 100% on Allah, and then you're dependent on the wali, your prophet. Don't think that you are something that you are now going to be rivaling with him. This is a huge lesson for us, brothers, that when it comes to dhulm, we're talking about dhulm, that one of the acts of dhulm that can really be devastating is arrogance. Or any other types of akhlaqi type of traits, you know, whether it be jealousy, whether it be ujub, taking pride in one's actions, so many other spiritual diseases. If somebody claims to be a champion against injustice, then but they don't have actively, they're not actively working on themselves. They don't have a proper plan. It's not something that they're actually, you know, let's say, dedicating time and efforts, and they're learning from those who have the knowledge about how they can address these issues. Then what's going to happen is that there are people who are saying one thing, but actually they are being afflicted by the same thing, but in another dimension. And the last form of dhulm that is mentioned is the dhulm to other people. And this of course comes in a variety of forms. And you could say that because the amount of, let's say, rights that are being taken is because you're doing it to other people, it becomes more, right? I mean, it's more than just yourself. Then you could say that in some ways this is the most severe. But one thing I want to mention here is that if we are aiming at trying to fight against dhulm, then we should consider all the different parts of dhulm. If we are looking to have the purity of a society which is free of injustice, then we need to look at all these different forms of dhulm. There was a companion who once came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi, and he tells him that I wish to be covered in light in the hereafter. What is it that I can do to make sure that I'm with light in the hereafter? So Rasulullah tells him that the way that you can be in light is la tadlim ahadan. Don't do dhulm to anyone. If you don't do dhulm to anyone, that's the way that you can be guaranteed that you have light in the hereafter.